Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. We talked about that already. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he, Jesus, was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your holy word and the power of your holy gospel, the power of your Holy Spirit mixed together with your holy word and mixed with faith that you give people the grace to have. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done, and we thank you for your system of grace. We thank you for the throne of grace where we are right now. And Lord, I named my daughter Daniqua Grace, because of your grace, in recognition of your grace. Because without your grace, we wouldn't be here. Without your grace, Lord, we would be in hell and should be in hell. Without your grace, Lord, we would not have experienced 1% of the blessings that you've bestowed upon some of the most wretched people in the world. And so we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for your grace and salvation full and free, the gospel, your holy word. And we individually, Lord, confess our sins, our failures and faults unto you. Because of your grace, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us all of our sins. Everybody should start praying, and pray with me throughout the remainder of this service, and pray without ceasing throughout the remainder of this night. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because your holy word says men ought always to pray and not to faint. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would move the invisible devils and demons, Lord, out of the hearts and minds and lives of people in this place and outside of this place. The devil is the one who has them blinded to their wickedness, their sin, their evil, their lostness. Open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls tonight. And Lord, we pray for over 3 million souls to have their eyes open and their souls saved from a burning hell, the place that you said has outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Lord, sadly, we don't hear about that much, but you said it. And we know that you would not have said it if it was not true. So, Lord, by your grace, save over 3 million souls through the preaching, the humble preaching of the gospel. We pray for over 3 million Christians to get right with you, to pray, to seek your face, to turn from their wicked ways, to humble themselves. And Lord, we pray that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his host from every little negative situation that is arising as we are proclaiming the gospel and getting the gospel out. Lord, help us not to waver. Help us not to be hindered and or startled in any way at what the devil does. Lord, we pray that you would cleanse us from all sin and make us whiter than snow on the inside through the blood of Christ, so that we can be fit for your use. Rebuke and bind the devil from the minds of people. Help everybody to concentrate on your holy word and to love you back, to trust in you, to fear you, to obey you, and to be faithful to you. Have the power of your Holy Spirit to fall, no matter the time and no matter where. And we pray that you would glorify your holy name, lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit, and bind Satan from the hearts and minds of people here and beyond here, listening all around the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, in the midst of this sudden storm on the Sea of Galilee so many years ago, and by the way, it has been reported today, I thought I'd pass this little bit of news to you, that many believe that they have found two rings worn by Pontius Pilate, the man who oversaw the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. To have that in our possession 2,000 years later is remarkable. I just shared that with you because every now and then I like to share with you archaeological finds that help bring the Word of God to life for you, for those of you who have trouble believing. Do you know that Jesus, the biggest problem that Jesus had with human beings is something that we're going to deal with tonight, O ye of little faith? That's the problem. That's the main problem that God has with people, not believing in him. And he's wondering, where do you think you came from with all that you have? How do you think you're making it? By your own strength? Sitting on a ball? Turning around, hanging on nothing? O ye of little faith, may I lovingly encourage you tonight to do what Jesus Christ told all of us to do. Have faith in God, and you'll be able to bear any storm that comes your way. Racism storms, prejudice storms, judgment storms, prideful storms, hatred storms, lying storms, financial storms, medical storms, health storms, health insurance storms, not having, because people are not, hospitals are not playing today. Hospitals are letting people die. They will tell you to your face, if you don't have insurance, we can't help you. We've got to have the money. In the midst of this sudden storm on the Sea of Galilee, we have two very different reactions from those caught in its throes. Jesus is the perfect picture of peace, calmly sleeping through the tempest. The disciples, however, are frantic, beside themselves. Their fisherman's instincts told them that they should not be sailing in such weather. Yet they had done what Jesus commanded. They followed him when he entered the ship. Now they urgently tried to wake Jesus, saying, "Lord, Lord, save us. Save us." They knew who to call on. We have to give them credit. Amen, somebody. They knew who to call on. Lord, save us, we perish. many people don't understand that this is precisely why Jesus told them to follow him into the ship, to test their faith, and to show them that when they're in trouble, to call on him, and he has the power. Danae, he has the power to deliver them. See, without the storm, they would have never known that Jesus, even though he was asleep, even though he kindly rebuked them for their lack of faith, getting all frantic and all bent out of shape about some waves, and you got the man, Christ Jesus, the God of the universe, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us in the ship. What are you worried about? I made the waves. I created the storm. I created the tempest. I don't know why when I see that word tempest, I just think about the tempest in a teapot. I don't know why, but that is an amazing thought, by the way. But Jesus created the storm, and so Jesus can stop the storm and save everybody in the storm. Can somebody say amen? Jesus has the power. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you were caught in such a storm, what would your reaction have been? It would have been the same for many of us. Most of us, despite this story, react like the disciples when caught in the sudden storms of life. Many of us get frantic. We get worried. Some get depressed. And some stay in a depression. They get defeated. And they throw up their hands. Why me? Why me? Why do I always have to go? It's not just you, my friend. All of us have tempests in our lives. Trouble comes, and sometimes trouble comes double. I told you about the preacher who preached on Job, and he ran back, old black preacher. You know, they have their titles, you know, from the National Baptist Convention. They're going to have some titles for you for days. And he read the story about the man, the people who kept coming to Job. The children got killed, and then they lost this. And then somebody else came and said, this has been destroyed, and other problems and troubles, one after another. Believe it or not, sometimes trouble comes double, but trouble all times also comes at times quadruple. That's what happened to Job. And he ran back, that old black preacher ran back. It was a revival meeting. Probably one of his sugar stick messages. He ran back and titled that message, "If It Ain't One Thing, It's Another." Now that's very common among black folk. I heard that when I was growing up in Brooklyn, New York, growing up in North Carolina, growing up in Apalachicola, Florida, from my dad and mom. They would say that phrase quite often. Something will happen, something will break, that will create another bill. And my dad, who I love, but he had some words. Hot dog it. If it ain't one thing, it's another. And he was a preacher. He was a Christian man, a very loving man. But something happened. He just got off three jobs, and he'll come home, and my mother would have done something or said something sideways. And, excuse me, but he said, "Got the mighty nose." I said, "What?" If it ain't one thing, it's another. And so sometimes trouble comes double, my beloved. You think you got one problem solved, and here comes something else. Another storm. As someone said, either you are just coming out of a storm, or you're getting ready to go in a storm and you don't know it. Like these disciples, they didn't know what was, they didn't know what was happening, I think. But by them being fishermen, they probably saw something, but they didn't say anything to Jesus. And went on and followed Jesus. I can see Peter looking up. You know, I've seen that sky before. Probably whispered to one of the brothers, the sons of thunder. And say, well, sons of thunder, have you heard this, seen this before, this picture? Well, I ain't saying nothing because, you know, Jesus said, get in the boat. Said, let's get in the boat. Alright, okay, don't you think we ought to tell Jesus something? No, don't say nothing. Just get in the boat. Jesus is roused from sleep, and his response to his disciples is both a loving rebuke, not harsh, and gentle. A rebuke and at the same time gentle. Sometimes other people may think you're being hard on your children, but God knows you're not. You know you're not, and watch this, the child knows you're not. Because sometimes the child that you're getting on hard to other little sweet people, sometimes they'll break out and smile and grin because of something you said funny to them, but it was a rebuke. But they know where it came from. It came from a loving heart. And that's why people ought to mind their own business and raise their own children correctly. Like a parent spoken to a child who should have known better. Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? They have some faith because they got in the boat. So Jesus, he really gave them a little credit. O ye of little faith. He didn't say, O ye of no faith. Regarding this powerful, interesting, profound statement, Dr. John MacArthur said Jesus' first response to the disciples' plea was to rebuke them gently for their lack of faith. He said to them, why are you timid, if you will? Our nation is filled with timid men. They have no boldness anymore. They have no fire. They have been emasculated by the devil, by the world, by society, by women who then leave the men that they have tamed into little, nice little half-baked, half-man, half-woman. They leave them because no matter how much a woman tries to tame you, she doesn't want you to be her little pet. No matter how much she might kick up dust about whatever, she wants you to be a man, and once the dust settles, you are standing tall. She does not want you to fall apart like she may fall apart. She wants you to be that board that no matter how emotional she gets, you remain cool, calm, and collected. We have too many timid men, weak men. This past day, the president called a man weak. I don't know if the man is weak or not. He might be strong. I don't know. I don't know the man. But that's a sad commentary. To be called a weak man, and no matter how much you want to go along to get along, gentlemen, at the end of the day, your wife, your mother, your father, your children, and the people under you on the job want you to stand up and quit yourself like a man. Amen, somebody. We have too many timid weak-minded, effeminate men in this country. I'm beginning to believe that some people knew this onslaught of gender neutrality garbage, this onslaught of homosexuality was coming because somebody put something in the food. Something is wrong somewhere. Where we look at men today and we don't know what they are. We have a generation coming up that you can look at a man and you don't know if it's a man or a woman. You can look at a woman, you don't know if it's a man or a woman. That ought not to be. And somebody had a t-shirt on yesterday. Says gender is dying. Gender is gone. And it must be gone with this person because I couldn't tell whether the person was a man or a woman. A grown man trying to raise his boy to be a man is probably in jail tonight because he had the audacity to tell this child, you cannot wear a dress. You cannot wear a girl's clothes. So they charge him with child abuse. I wish somebody would charge me with such foolishness. He said to them, why are you timid, you men of little faith? In other words, men of faith and women of faith, children of faith, ought to be bold as a lion. Many of us are not bold as a lion because, and this is not the case with the disciples, I don't think, but many of us are not bold as a lion, and we're timid because we're full of sin and rebelliousness and stubbornness and evil, bad attitudes, bad spirits. We're not doing what we're supposed to do, and we know it. Our hearts are not right, so we can't be bold. The Greek word for timid has the basic meaning of being fearful or cowardly, and it is strongly connected in having no faith. It's strongly connected to that. People who are fearful and cowardly are oftentimes people who don't have any faith. They don't have faith in God, and so when they cross the mountain, they think that they're grasshoppers and the little people there are giants. No, we can't conquer them. We can't do anything. Let's run back to the fold. We're grasshoppers in their sight. Not remembering that God is the one who opened the Red Sea for them. Now, how can you march through a sea on dry ground, and now all of a sudden you're grasshoppers, cowardly, faithless? And the disciples must have wondered why Jesus wondered at them. How could he ask why they were afraid and timid when they obviously had everything to be afraid of? And this is what Jesus is saying to all of us today while we face storms in our lives and issues and problems and misunderstandings and crazy things out of the blue. The great question in their minds was why Jesus was not afraid himself. What manner of man is this? Not only who tells the waves to sit down and the winds to hush up, but he's not afraid. He has no fear. You want to be a strong man? You want to be a fearless man? Be like Jesus. It was the middle of the night. The storm was sure to wash them overboard in their minds or sink the boat, and any response but fear seemed unnatural to them and to you and me. You see, there's one thing to have a storm, but it's another thing to have a storm in the nighttime. That's a very stressful situation, to say the least. Jesus' calmness so perplexed the disciples that they tried to accuse him, if you will, of insensitivity. You know how there are people who are under you in your life, and the devil will use them to try to accuse you. Now, you've shown all kinds of faith in God for them. You've helped them in every way that you can possibly help them. You have loved them and supported them. But every now and then, the devil will get under their skin and in their hearts and minds, and these jokers will try to accuse you of insensitivity, of not loving them. These are normally weak-minded people. These are normally what the Bible calls feeble-minded people, people of no faith themselves. Mark reports that they asked Jesus, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" See what the devil got them saying? Now, you have fed the 5,000, you have fed us, you have taken care of us, and you have led us, and you have loved us like no one else. And we get into a storm with you, and look how they accuse Jesus. Do you not care that we are perishing? Lord, do you hate us? Lord, are you trying to kill us out here? Why are you concerned about us, Lord? We're perishing. We're getting ready to go under, Lord. We don't want to die out here in the sea. And that's how some people do Jesus. I heard the other day, because of the fires out in California, a person who said, "No, I just can't believe in God right now. I just can't do it. I had some faith before. I don't have any right now." What happened? God is still the same. The God who blessed you to live on those rolling hills for 30 years is still the same God. The Jesus who you worship down in the little cottage church is still the same Jesus. Why, when we have a storm or a fire or a shooting, we want to turn against God and accuse him of not loving us? How wicked, how evil, and how ungrateful. Because you have forgotten that through the fire, through the shooting, through the storms, you're still living. You're still standing. You don't have a house anymore, but that can be replaced. And yet, people accuse Jesus, accuse God. Where are you, God? Where are you, Lord Jesus? So ungrateful, so unthankful that God somehow spared your life. You could have died. Your family could have died. You say, "Well, I'm in this old raggedy tent out here in the Walmart parking lot." Thank God you are alive. Guess what you get to do? You get to start all over. And it's not as bad as you think. But where was God? God was right where he's always been. Where was Jesus? Jesus has not moved. You may have moved. And this may shock you, because you have moved away into wickedness and evil and doing what you want to do. Maybe that's the reason the fires came and took all of your stuff away. The hurricane came and took all of your stuff away. But Jesus turned the rebuke back upon them. "Why are you timid?" he asked. And then gave the answer as part of the question, "You men of little faith." See, if you are of little faith, that makes you timid and weak. You're not strong. The Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs that when the day of adversity comes and you quit or faint, your strength, you're weak. It shows you up as a weak person. They were fearful because they were faithless. Timid because they had little faith. I hope you see the connection. Because some of you are that way. You're dried up, you're sad, you're defeated, you're disgusted, you're always depending on somebody else's faith. You have no happiness, you have no peace, you have no fearlessness, you have no joy. You don't have any roar in you. That's why you go to some men's meeting today and they make the men roar like lions. You know why? Because all of their life and all year long they've been meow. Men, meow. Little weak men, meow. Begging and crying and boo-hooing over. Are you kidding me? And men have been deceived by the devil. Men have been deceived by women who have beat them down, thinking that a woman always wants a little sweet, little syrupy, weak little man. And that's what they try to do. And always buying them something and giving them something. That woman does not want that man. I don't know who you think you're dealing with, but she is not like that at all. God did not wire her to be that way. She responds better to a strong man. A man who she knows can get it done without her. He can get the job done without her. You wonder why a whole lot of pastors let the women make all of the decisions and do everything? You know why many pastors just look to the women to get things done and to move forward and so forth? It's because they know the woman runs the home. She runs the husband. Because so many men are weak today. And some women have passed some men in showing strength. It's a shame before God. And these women today are not going to let you hold them up because you are mealy-mouthed and weak and feeble and timid. And you have no faith in God. But be that as it may, as I digress, as I do from time to time, particularly on an issue like that, don't you believe in me, Jesus said, and in my power? He asked, in effect, I'm right here. Emmanuel, I am God. Man, God with you. Haven't you seen enough of my power, Jesus was saying in effect, and experienced enough of my love to know you are perfectly safe with me. You have seen me perform miracle upon miracle, even on behalf of those who never trusted in me or even bothered to thank me. You have seen my power and my compassion, and you should know that because of my power, I can help you, and that because of my compassion, I will help you. Even if you should drown, don't you know that would mean instant heaven, paradise for you? What then do you have to be worried about, O ye of little faith? And so, ladies and gentlemen, this is likely what Jesus would say to us when we express little or no faith in the midst of our tempests of life, our storms of life. We have seen Jesus work in the past. We have been witnesses to his work in the lives of others. We have seen God move. We have seen God many times in a financial storm when we need X amount of dollars on Monday, and the day was Friday. And we prayed throughout the weekend, and God showed up and showed out and provided what we needed to survive. We have read of His works in Scripture. We ought to believe that He will do for us what He has done for others. We ought not to be people of little faith, which makes us timid and weak and afraid. It is easy to have faith when there are no storms, but for some reason storms seem to zap the faith of some. People get tunnel vision and forget that the Lord works in marvelous ways. Yes, and even mysterious ways. The least we can say for these disciples is that they did not give in to utter despair. They had a little faith. So many today don't have any faith. And what a tragedy. They knew who to turn to. They cried out to the Lord in the midst of their great storm of life. Manny P. Ferguson wrote, "Galilee's waters are raging. On them a vessel is tossed. Seamen in terror are calling, 'Carest thou not, we are lost.' Sweetly asleep on a pillow, Maker and Savior, he lay. While with dismay they awake him, 'Master, we perish,' they say. Over the noise of the tempest, over the dash of the wave, rings the sweet voice of the Savior. See, he is mighty to save. Calmed in a moment the billows, hushed in an instant to sleep, still is the roar of the wild winds, steady their boat on the deep. Wonderful Jesus, I need thee. Out in the storm and the strife, oft it has seemed I was sinking, tossed on the ocean of life. Speak to the winds and the waters, each thy behest must fulfill. Speak to my heart in the tempest, whispering softly, 'Be still.' When I am toiling in rowing, almost engulfed in the sea, make of the billows a pathway, come through the darkness to me. Failures and terrors will vanish soon as I know thou art nigh. Say to my soul in the danger, 'Be not afraid, it is I.' Amen, somebody." Let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for being with us in the storms. That's one of the points that has not really been touched on. The fact that you were with them in the storm. You were not on the mountain observing them in the storm. You're that kind of Savior, that you will be with us in the storms of life. And when we can't walk any longer because of our weakness and being timid and afraid, Lord, we're reminded of the beautiful picture of one set of steps in the sand. And we found out that you carried us when we couldn't carry ourselves. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for what you have done, what you're doing, and for what you will do. Lord, increase our faith. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. And ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today, thank you for allowing me the privilege to introduce to you the man Christ Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us again. And if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a very sad place. Hell is a terrible place. Hell is a bad place, and hell is bad news. But I have good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. For Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," if you're in this world, God loves you, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And pray and ask him to save your soul. And according to the word of God, your salvation is guaranteed. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if you shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, that word whosoever again means anybody at any time, makes no difference who you are. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a guarantee. You can bank on that. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to be saved. You don't have to take communion to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. Not one dime. Salvation through Jesus Christ is free. But it costs God everything. It was a very painful experience for Jesus Christ. But he went through that hell for us so that we can avoid going to hell by simple faith in him. So believe in your heart right now in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is good news. There's nothing bad about it. The bad news is going to hell if you don't trust Christ as Savior. And believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And pray and ask him to save your soul. And he'll save you. That's how I got saved, December the 19th, 1979. And if God can save a wretch like me, God can save you. So repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. That he suffered, bled, and died, and was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations to you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do, after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.